Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, and my good friend Tom Moore is here with me tonight. Tom is the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Congregation of the Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. And I am the gospel preacher here at the Hillcrest Congregation in Stephenville, Texas. And we're broadcasting tonight from Stephenville, Studio 4 in the Hillcrest building. We are on the airwaves on 97.7 FM KATX in Eastland, Texas. Also in KNNK 100.5 in Hereford, Texas. We broadcast also out of Hydro, Oklahoma, KQMK 1680 AM. And knowthetruthradio.org on the internet with also a chat box there that you can go to and type in your questions or answers. We'll try to get to them as we go through this program. We're also broadcasting from the gospelradionetwork.org, and you can go on either one of these networks, and you can tune in that way. We just want to get the radio program out there just as far as we can get it, with as many ways as we can do it. Now, there are many ways to enter into this discussion. This is a live call-in talk show. We do have a toll-free telephone number by which you can call in, and we encourage you to call in with your questions and your comments. The number to call is 1-855-Q, as in questions, A as in answers, B-I-B-L-E, Bible. 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Again, 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We will pick up the tab. It is a toll-free number. You can also enter in the chat box, type in your questions, your comments. As we go along, we'll try to get to those. There are many ways that you can enter into the discussion. You can get on the email, and you can email us also at questions@harrisonmoore.org, and those emails will come straight to my email box and also to Tom's email box, and we will try to answer those as they come in as we can. We have a lot of things going on here, and sometimes we don't get around to all of them, but we will get to them if you will send us an email. We want to welcome our additional sponsors. In addition to the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville and the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, we're also sponsored by the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the DeLeon Church of Christ in DeLeon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, and the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, Texas. Now, you have heard what men have had to say. Now, listen to what the Bible has to say. That has always been our motto here. It is our mission here on this radio program to get God's Word out. There's an awful lot of people being misled by a lot of things and a lot of suppositions, a lot of opinions. We just want to get back to the Bible and see what God has to say about things. Now, Tom, last week you were gone, and Denny filled in for you and did a very, very good job. While we were here together, we considered the difference between a Christian and a believer. And one of the reasons we bring this up is because, contrary to denominational teaching, there is a great difference between a Christian and a believer, and we brought up the record of the non-conversion in Acts chapter 26, verses 19 through 29, and we had an email that came in after the program. It might have been during the program, but we didn't get it till after the program. There were several comments that were made saying that we misrepresented something, and we're going to cover these comments that we got on our email, and we're going to cover them and answer them to the best of our ability with Scripture. And in order for us to get down to the nuts and bolts of this thing, we need to read the text from which this non-conversion comes. And if you have your Bibles, we would encourage you to turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 26. And we're going to begin reading there in verse number 19. And the context of this whole thing is that Paul the Apostle had been imprisoned in Jerusalem because he was teaching and preaching Christianity and the Christian way. And he was about to be killed, so they transferred him to Caesarea. And when he got to Caesarea, he had an opportunity to stand in his own defense before a fellow by the name of King Agrippa of that Palestinian province in through there. And so, Tom, if you will read us the context there, we'll find out what Paul is having to say here to King Agrippa as he stands before him in his own defense.
Okay, I'll be reading Acts chapter 26, beginning in verse 19, running through verse 29, and I'll be reading out of the American Standard Version. It says, "Wherefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but declared both to them of Damascus first, at Jerusalem, and throughout all the country of Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, doing works worthy of repentance. For this cause the Jews seized me in the temple, and assuaged to kill me. Having therefore obtained the help that is from God, I stand unto this day testifying, both to small and great, saying nothing but what the prophets and Moses did say should come, how that Christ must suffer, how that he first by the resurrection of the dead should proclaim light both to the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art mad, thy much learning is turning thee mad. But Paul saith, I am not mad, most excellent Festus, but speak forth words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, unto whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things is hidden from him, for this hath not been done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. And Agrippa said unto Paul, but with little persuasion thou wouldest fain make me a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that whether with little or much, not thou only, but also all that hear me this day might become as I am, except these bonds."
Okay, so this was the text of our lesson last week. And by the way, we're going to rehearse some of the things that we talked about last week, and we're going to cover these questions that came in through the email. And then when we get through with that, if we have time, we're going to address what the United Nations said this last week through an article that was written in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. The United Nations is now saying they are declaring God's word to be psychological torture. And we're going to address what the United Nations has to say. By the way, that United Nations, Tom, is the monetary contribution for that United Nations primarily comes from the United States of America. So if there are any strings pulled there, the United States of America pulls more than any.
You know, David, as we begin our discussion tonight in talking about the difference between a Christian and a believer, and mm-hmm. is there any difference? Mm-hmm. It'd be important for us to notice what is found in the end of the book of Luke.
Absolutely.
In Luke chapter 24, verse 44, it says, "And he said unto them, These are my words which I spake unto you, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, and the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me." And so David here, Jesus, as he's ending his earthly ministry, is telling his disciples that the books of law, the books of the prophets, the Psalms, all were speaking about Jesus.
Now, it's interesting to note also that Jesus also told them in verse number 46, thus it is written, where? In the law, in the prophets, and in the Psalms. Mm-hmm. And thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And so all of these things that Jesus did during his earthly ministry were fulfilled. They were a fulfillment of the law of Moses, of the prophets, and of the Psalms. All of those things that they wrote about, he fulfilled every single one of them. And because he is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets and of the Psalms, then that ended Judaism as we know it.
And now, David, this is important to our discussion tonight, because Paul asked the king here, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? Well, why would he ask him, do you believe the prophets? He says, I know you believe the prophets. But why would he be asking him this? Is he asking him, do you believe in the Old Testament? Or was there something else in the mind of Paul?
Do you believe that Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of all of these things? That's what he's asking him. That's what Jesus preached. That's what Moses preached. That's what the prophets taught. And that's what was written in the Psalm. Now, we had an email, and the first part of this email, it says, this program is flawed. The speaker stated that the Roman governor served under Agrippa. This is not so. Governor and Agrippa were equals in control of different regions under the Roman emperor. Well, we have searched and high and low, and the International Bible Encyclopedia, among other places, and we have tried to find the difference between a king and a governor or a procurator. There is definitely a difference. I don't know just exactly what it was, so I may stand corrected. But I will say this. When it talks about procurators, it talks about a seat in a province. And when it talks about kings, it talks about their estates. And it makes a distinction between kings and governors or procurators. So I could stand corrected on that. I have no problem with that. If they were equals under King or under the Roman Empire, the emperor, I have no problem with that. And if that is the case, then I made a mistake. But I cannot prove one way or the other that there was not a difference, but I know that there was some difference. As far as their authority, I don't know, but there was definitely a difference between the two because of the way that not only the scriptures talk about it, but secular history as well. And I cannot put my finger on what the difference is. So I may stand corrected there.
Yeah, and if you have some information about that where we can gather that information, we would appreciate you emailing it to us, because we would like to have that. And we would be willing to share that with our listeners. David, he makes two other comments here, and I'm going to go ahead and go to the second comment first.
Okay.
It says, it was stated that Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. The fellow who wrote this said, this is a poor translation, which is more correctly rendered, do you think in such a short time I would become a Christian? Well, I was doing a little bit of research today and looking at a numerous amount of translations and looking at the Greek text, and I believe that this young man, old man, or whoever he is misinformed about his assertion there. I've looked at the English Standard Version, the American Standard Version, the New King James, the New American Standard, the King James, and also the Lexham English Bible, and it's true that the English Standard Version translates it as a question, but you'll also note in the footnote of that same verse in the English Standard Version, it also has another rendering, in a short time you will persuade me to act like a Christian. From what I've gathered in all the information, the question mark really is questionable.
Mm-hmm.
And what's taking place here is that King Agrippa is indeed saying that in a short time you would persuade me to be a Christian. Or it might be the case that he's saying, in a short time you will persuade me to become a Christian. Or as the King James says, almost thou hast persuaded me to be a Christian. To say that the King James rendering or the American Standard rendering or the New American Standard rendering or the New King James rendering is an inaccurate translation is clearly false, and this man is misled in this regard. But it's true what Agrippa was asking here is, or what he was saying here, you've almost got me where you want me to be.
Mm-hmm.
But for whatever reason, and we'll talk more about that later, he was not willing to take the next step that needed to be taken.
Absolutely. So this is these are two of the statements that were made. Now, the next statement is that we stated here on this radio program, and we did, that Paul knew Agrippa believed in Jesus. Now, the reason that we say that Paul knew Agrippa believed in Jesus is because Paul said that Agrippa knew and believed in Jesus. And we'll get to that in just a moment, too. He says, but the text says that Paul knew Agrippa believed in the law and the prophets. Well, now, as you read just a moment ago, Paul was addressing, he was standing in his own defense before King Agrippa. And in chapter 26, at the very first part of that, in verses 2 and 3, he says, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, or King Agrippa, touching all things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know you to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews, wherefore I beseech thee, hear me patiently. Mm-hmm. You are an expert in all of the traditions and the customs and the questions of the Jews. You are an expert, King Agrippa. You know what the Jews know.
Exactly.
So what did the Jews know? Well, he's going to now tell him about his own personal conversion.
Mm-hmm.
How he was a Jew, a zealous Jew, but he was converted by Jesus the Christ, that individual, that prophet that the prophets and the Psalms and the law did say should come. And he mentions that in verses 22 and 23. And so when he asks him, and the question is, or the comment is stated here, that he did not know Jesus, he only believed in the law and the prophets. Well, if he believed in the law and the prophets, we look here at verse number 22 and 23, and we find out just exactly what they did know and what he did know. It says there, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. Well, what's he doing? He's converting Jews by what Moses and the prophets did say should come. How do they know? Because he knows.
Exactly.
Now he tells him, he says, that Christ should suffer, and that Christ should be the first to rise from the dead, and that he should show light unto the people and unto the Gentiles. He tells him what the prophets and Moses wrote about, what they knew, and then he turns right back around and he tells King Agrippa, he says, I am speaking forth the words of truth and soberness, for the king knows of these things. What things?
The things concerning the Christ that was spoken of by the prophets of old.
Amen.
Now, the number to call tonight, if you'd like to get in on the discussion, is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. David Ryan on the chat box makes a good point that's really in connection with everything you said a moment ago. He says, Christ is the end of the law. That is the goal or the result of the law.
The fulfillment.
Yeah.
The fulfillment.
Romans 10 and verse 4. And one who has believed the law and the prophets would have followed Christ if he followed the logical result of that faith.
Amen.
So if he really believed in the law and the prophets, then he would believe in the Christ that Paul was speaking of
right
at that very time. And so to say that Agrippa believed in the Old Testament but did not believe in Christ is really, you really haven't read the context of what's going on here.
That's very true. And Paul, by the way, let's not forget that Paul is speaking through inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I know. Mm-hmm. King Agrippa,
yeah,
that you believe. I know. I don't suppose it. I know it because the Holy Spirit is telling me this. Now we have some wonderful evidence of this whole thing. In verse 27, when Paul says, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? He was simply saying, do you believe in Jesus Christ as foretold by these prophets? And we mentioned what was written there in verses 22 and 23. And then in verse 27, the question, do you believe in the prophets? That is to say, do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Do you believe that he died for your sins? Do you believe in the resurrection of his dead? And Paul answered his own question. I know.
You know, we look back in the first part of chapter 26.
Mm-hmm.
It says there, he's talking to Agrippa and he says, he's addressing him because he is an expert in all the customs and questions which are among the Jews. And so he was an expert, mm-hmm, in the law of Moses, even though he was not a Jew, or at least not full-blooded. We don't know everything about, we know he was not a Jew, but he understood the law because he wanted to get in a good relationship with the Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
So he was a very studious man, very knowledgeable in the Old Testament, and he would have known what these scriptures were pointing to, especially when Paul comes right in and shows him firsthand exactly that Christ is a fulfillment of the law. And he says, I know you know this.
Well, here it is. The inspired Apostle Paul was absolutely convinced that the king was a believer, that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that Jesus Christ was that prophet that Moses said should come. Just like the woman at the well, I perceive that you're a prophet. The woman at the well found that out in John chapter 4. And here we find about 20 years later that this man had been a student of Christianity because he had been a student of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms.
Mm-hmm.
And Denny writes a very interesting note here on the chat box. He says, while we cannot know exactly what Agrippa knew or did not know, a man who is an expert in the law, prophets, and Jewish history would have known about Jesus, and the Jewish people were discussing it during the approximate 20 years of time since Jesus' death to the time of his trial. This is especially true concerning that he is presiding over the trial, that is Agrippa, and probably others. So we may not know exactly how much he knew, but we do know he had some knowledge and he believed in God and his prophets. And so the fulfillment of this, or the conclusion of this, is that Jesus Christ is the Messiah that the Jewish nation had been waiting on, the very same one that Moses said should come back in Deuteronomy. Every Jewish woman from Deuteronomy all the way through the first century were waiting, thinking that they may be the one to carry the Messiah in their womb.
Exactly right. Now, the number to call tonight, 1-855-QA-BIBLE. 1-855-QA-BIBLE. So, David, there's really no doubt that King Agrippa knew that Paul was speaking about the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew that King Agrippa knew about the Christ.
Absolutely.
And about Christianity.
Absolutely.
But even though he knew that he believed in the Christ, that he was the Messiah that the old law spoke of, that the prophets and the law of Moses spoke of, still, he was not yet a Christian,
mm-hmm,
even though he was a believer.
Absolutely. And so what we see here, what we get out of this record of non-conversion, what we have is a believer that was not a Christian. The irony of this whole thing, Tom, is this. Even King Agrippa knew the difference between a believer and a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that said, you almost persuade me to be a Christian. You almost... I am a believer, but you almost persuade me to be a Christian.
Or with a little bit more teaching,
mm-hmm,
I will become a Christian. So he believed, but was not yet a Christian.
Now, what this tells us is there's got to be some action put forth with faith, action of obedience to God's will, in order to be able to become a Christian.
Exactly.
You can be a believer until the day that you die, and if you're not a Christian, you still can't go to heaven.
Exactly. You know, we've got the Bible is filled with verses that talk about the importance of faith with works of obedience.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we look in the book of James chapter 2, and that chapter is filled with passages that talks about when faith is not have works, it's dead.
Mm-hmm.
It's void. It's of no value. So simply believing in the Messiah, believing in Jesus as your Lord, does not make you a Christian. And that's one of our big problems in the world today, David.
Absolutely.
Because people believe, they say, well, I'm a believer, and they consider themselves a Christian just because they state that I am a believer.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes much more than just believing, because James 2 verse 19 says, even the devils believe, and even to the point of shuddering, but no one would say that a devil would be a Christian, would they?
No. No, surely not. Surely not. So even Agrippa could see that this theory of belief without action, belief without obedience to the will of God, even he could see that this was false, because he knew that he believed. He just refused. There was something in his way that would keep him from becoming and being obedient to the word and will of God, so that he could become a Christian. Because almost you persuade me. Almost mm-hmm. you persuade me to be a Christian. Well, that tells us that he understands that you can't be a Christian just because you believe.
Mm-hmm. And even if you have the like the New American Standard Version's rendering, in a short time you will persuade me to become a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Even if that's the correct rendering, it still shows that he was not yet a Christian, even though he believed.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that's important for us to realize, especially in light of our world, David, that is so filled with the idea that all a person has to do is believe in Jesus. I'm a believer. You know, and this idea, that seems to be kind of a watchword. A lot of people want to talk about, well, I'm a believer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why not say I am a Christian and then do what God says you need to do to be a Christian? A believer is good, but it has not gone far enough.
That's right. And Agrippa knew this. Paul knew this. The scriptures teach this. And yet we have preachers all over the world teaching and preaching that you just be a believer. You just have faith. And that's what that is. That's what that means. You just be a believer. You just have faith and you will be saved. But that is not what the Bible teaches. Right here we see an account of a non-conversion.
Exactly.
The book of Acts is full of conversions. You want to find conversions in the Bible, you go to the book of Acts, because every single conversion is in that book of Acts, how they were obedient to the word and the will of God. Now, we are going to have to take a break here at the appropriate time. We can't go under. We can't go over. And we're going to take a break at, what, 7:30, Tom?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to take a small break, short break, 2 minutes. We'll be right back. And when we come back, we'll finish up this rehearsal of last week's program. And we will finish up on the question and the comment that was sent to us through the email. And we want you to stay tuned. Call in. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE, 1-855-QA-BIBLE. You have been listening to the Harrison.
You are listening.
Oh, you are listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. We'll be right back.
We want to continue to remind you of some of the things that are going on. We remember that this is a live call-in talk show. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We want to remind you also of our sponsors, and we're thankful for sister congregations like the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, and also the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo all have a part in this programming that we're involved in. We also want to remind you about our webpage, www.harrisonmoore.org. We have archived radio programs from years gone by. We've been doing this now, David, for over 5 years now. And so there's quite a few programs that you can look at. But we also want to encourage you to listen to the podcasts that are available. If you'll go to our webpage, down at the bottom right-hand corner, you'll see RSS feed. And there you can sign up to receive a podcast where you can listen to the programming any day that you would like to or any hour of the day. So it's important for you to do that, and I think it would be beneficial to you. Remember, you can also email us a question at harrisonmoore.org, that email question will go right to us. Questions@harrisonmoore.org is the email. That question, that email will go to David's box and also to my box as well. So we want to remind you also.
The Brownwood Church of Christ in Brownwood, Texas, having a gospel meeting with Loy Mitchell. We invite everyone to go and attend there. If you're anywhere in the area, great, great gospel message will be preached there.
Welcome back to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. And with me, as always, my good friend and partner on this program, David Harris, who preaches for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas. And we are delighted to have you in our listening audience tonight. Tonight we're talking about the difference between a Christian and a believer. David and Denny last week talked about this. And again, we want to thank Denny for filling in for me last week. He did an outstanding job, and we want to thank him for doing that. But we got an email that was questioning some of the things that were said last week. We talked about the translation. The fellow that emailed said that this was a mistranslation on the part of the King James and American Standard Version here, but that's clearly not true. We looked at all of the reliable translations, and even though it may not say that in the English Standard Version, it still has a footnote to that end, and that says there's still some question mark in their mind about that.
Mm-hmm.
But also, David, our inquirer said that King Agrippa was not talking about believing in Christ, but that he was instead believing in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say about that?
Well, you take it out of context, and yes, he was, but you look at what Paul was talking about. He related his entire conversion. Paul had been a Jew. One of the reasons he was being persecuted so voraciously was because he was trying to persuade other people to become Christians who were Jews. And he related his conversion to the king, and then he told them that Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of the law of Moses, of the prophets, and of the Psalms. And he told him, he told him that in verse number 22 and 23, he says, "Having obtained therefore help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both the small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come." Well, Moses and the prophets throughout the literature that we have in the Old Testament said that the prophet, the Messiah, the Christ was coming and the kingdom was going to be established through him. That's what they prophesied. That's what the law said. And then in verse 23, he explained it to him, broke it down even more precisely. He says that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and unto the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. And then he says, the king knows of these things before whom I also freely speak, for I am persuaded, verse 26, that none of these things are hidden from him, King Agrippa, for this thing, the entire death, burial, resurrection, establishment of the church, and the preaching of Christianity was not done in a corner.
Exactly,
it was
right.
Done openly. And then he says, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do. Mm-hmm. Do you believe what they taught? Do you believe that they taught that Jesus Christ was the Son of God? I know that you do. No, that's what I have to say about it.
You know, Ryan makes a good point on this, and pretty much in a short sentence, you know, rehashes what you said. He says, you can note too that Agrippa knew a difference. For all that he believed, he was not a Christian and admitted such because he said almost or with little persuasion or in a little while. So he knew that there was a difference between a believer and a Christian. You know, and the passage where Paul says there in verse 29, when he talks about, and I wish all of you could be like I am, a Christian, except for these bonds. I want you, King Agrippa, to be like that. But he wasn't there yet. Even though he believed the prophets, he believed the Messiah the prophets talked about, but he was not yet a Christian.
So there was something in his way. There was something that inhibited him. And it was through his own will, because Paul was trying to persuade him with words, with scripture. He was trying to persuade him to become a Christian and to be a saved individual, because a believer is not a saved individual until he becomes a Christian. Mm-hmm. And this was the point that Paul was making. And this was the point that Agrippa refused to adhere to. Now, we don't know just exactly what it was that kept him from being obedient to the will of God that would make him a Christian, whether it was baptism, whether it was repentance, or maybe it was the confession that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. We don't know what it was. But if it was baptism, he's just like millions of people today who dig their heels in the ground at the thought of being immersed in water for the forgiveness of their sins by the authority of Jesus Christ. He would be just like thousands of others that exist today. If it were repentance, I don't know how many people I've had in my office that I've talked to about their adulterous marriage, and they say, well, that's what the Bible says, all right, but I refuse to leave my wife, which is really not his wife. Mm-hmm. I refuse to leave her and become a Christian.
You know, there are a lot of things, David, like that. You know, for example, I've talked with a lot of people over the years, and they can't see, they just cannot become a Christian because, well, mom and daddy were Baptist or Methodist, and they were the ones who were believers, and they believed in Jesus, and they believed that's all they had to be. And I can't do that, and what they're doing is accusing their mom and dad of not going to heaven. And so they're allowing things. I mean, people allow all kinds of things to keep them from really doing what God says, all the while claiming to be a believer and hoping that that's going to be enough. But David, we know that it's not, because even King Agrippa realized that.
Absolutely.
Almost he persuaded me to be a Christian.
Well, even in John chapter 12, we have another account of some people who were believers, but they were not Christians. And here it is. It says, nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they love the praise of men more than they love the praise of God. A refusal to confess Jesus Christ, one of the terms to becoming a Christian, will make you a believer only.
Exactly. You know, David, that has to be one of the saddest verses in all the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And really, David, this one right here is too, in Acts chapter 26. Almost. All, and there's a song, Almost Persuaded, mm-hmm. that we sing many times. And almost is altogether lost, is it not?
Absolutely.
And so there's not any halfway Christian. It's almost, it's not like, we don't, can't treat Christianity like hand grenades or horseshoes. Just see how close you can get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a believer's close, but it's not there yet. Paul realized that. King Agrippa realized that, and every person in this world needs to realize that it takes more to being a Christian than just simply believing. You're a believer, that's good. But take that belief and now go to the next step and be obedient to the will of God.
And the irony of this whole non-conversion, this whole account of non-conversion, is the fact that even Agrippa knew mm-hmm. that this theory of faith-only salvation, he knew that it was false. He said, I can't be a Christian because of the way I am, and almost mm-hmm. I would become one, but I'm not going to.
You know, David, this is probably the most prominent false doctrine in our world today.
Right.
The idea of faith only, that a man is saved by faith alone. All I got to do is be a believer, recite the sinner's prayer, believe Jesus is Lord, be a believer. But it takes much more than simply believing than becoming a child of God.
Right. Well, there's one more part of this email. And we want to read this last paragraph of this email that this man sent us. Evidently, he didn't like the program very much last week. He says, we need to be accurate and honest with the Word of God. And I do believe with all of my heart that we were being accurate and we were being honest with just exactly what the Scriptures had to say. The Scripture said Paul knew that Agrippa was a believer. Paul knew that he believed in Jesus the Christ. This is what the Scriptures say. This, because this is what the prophet said. This is what Moses said. This is what the Psalm said. We were not misrepresenting the Scriptures at all, and yet we're being accused of doing so. He says, your premise is true. Your premise is true. In other words, the premise that you cannot be a Christian, that there is a difference between a believer and a Christian. You cannot be a believer and be saved. You must be a Christian. And so the premise is true, he says, but Agrippa is not a good example of a believer in Christ that he did not obey. This, in my opinion, in my humble opinion, Tom, I do not believe that we misrepresented anything. I believe we represented it exactly the way that the Holy Spirit, through Paul, presented it to us, and it was written for our learning so we won't make the same mistake again.
Exactly. We built last week, evidently, a prima facie case,
mm-hmm.
a case that cannot be denied, a case that cannot be broken down. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, King Agrippa was a believer in the Christ, but that belief did not lead him to becoming a Christian by his obedience to, whether it be repenting of his sins or his unwillingness to be baptized, whatever it was. He had not gone far enough
mm-hmm.
yet
mm-hmm.
to become a Christian. We don't have any indication that he ever did, and we don't have any indication that he did or did not. But if he did not, he's lost, even though he was a believer.
Right. Well, the implication through secular history is that he never, ever repented of his immoral lifestyle. He was
especially with the kind of wife he had.
Oh, yeah, he was a highly immoral man, and he lived and died in pure immorality. The entire Herodian family were a bunch of immoral reprobates that were just unbelievable, caused scandals all through Rome. If you can believe causing a scandal in Rome, as scandalous mm-hmm. as Rome was, and they caused a scandal of scandals. And so
you might say, by their fruits you shall know them. And if his fruits was any indication of the kind of man he was, then more than likely he did not. And if he did, well, he didn't stay faithful very long.
Exactly. Okay, well, Tom, we just have about 15 minutes left in our program here, and we want to address this this thing that I mentioned earlier. The UN, which is primarily funded by taxpayer dollars from the United States of America, I have very, very little regard for the United Nations. It is another avenue by which the United States, without any kind of regulations through the Constitution, can impose things upon the American public through a world council, if you will. Mm-hmm. And they met last week, and this article was written. It's in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. It's written by an author by the name of William Brown. He is from Arlington, Texas. And he says here that the UN Committee on the Convention Against Torture, teaching on sexuality, abortion, is a cause of physical and psychological torture. Now, this is what the United Nations says. If you teach against homosexuality, if you teach against abortion, this is a cause of psychological and physical torture. And translated, that means if you teach God's Word, what God's Word has to say about homosexuality and what God's Word has to say about abortion, then that is tantamount to psychological torture or physical torture, which is equivalent to a hate crime, mm-hmm, or hate speech.
You know, when you think about the idea of hate crimes in connection with this, a hate crime is any crime motivated, they say, by bias against a person or group based on ethnicity, gender, sexual preference, and I get this one, religion, mm-hmm, or any other characteristic that is characterized as a hate crime. Now, isn't it interesting, David, that they will blare out and blast out hate crime when you speak against homosexuality, when you say that abortion is murder, but when it comes to calling a religious organization one who is involved in physical and psychological torture, that's not hate crime.
That's not hate speech at all. Now folks, we really want you to get in on this conversation. You can go to the chat box at knowthetruthradio.org, or you can go to the chat box at thegospelradionetwork.org, either one, and you can write in there, or we prefer that you would pick up the phone and dial 1-855-QA-BIBLE, 1-855-QA-BIBLE. It is a toll-free number. We want to hear your comments. What do you think about the United Nations calling God's Word psychological torture? That's what they're calling this. So according to them, if they can get this thing passed, and what this will do is this will go outside the boundaries of the Constitution of the United States of America and free speech and freedom of religion, it will go outside of the boundaries of this to come in a world council kind of a way and say, now, you are guilty, maybe not by your Constitution, but by our World and United Nations Committee. We have declared you to be a promoter of a hate crime and hate speech, and you're going to be fined for this. By the way, hate speech and hate crimes are federal offenses.
Exactly right. And we think about this idea, David, that the UN is accusing, in this case, the Catholic Church, but that applies to all religious groups.
Absolutely.
Who oppose homosexuality. Here they're saying it's a hate crime. Well, our nation, David, has gone so far now. This past week on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, they had the NFL draft. And on the last day, about the 269th draft pick, the St. Louis Rams selected a man by the name of Michael Sam. Now, why this is significant is that Michael Sam recently, who was a football player for the University of Missouri, came out of the closet, so to speak, and said he was a homosexual. Well, on the day of that draft, from that moment on, people have been saying this is a historic event. The first homosexual has been drafted to the NFL, an historic event. But, David, it's not a historic event. It's simply another occasion of sin in our world.
Mm-hmm.
We get to where we're now glorifying sin, and anybody who speaks against sin are now being accused of psychological and physical torture. How far has our world gone?
Well, and you know, it has gone so far. By the way, Ryan writes on the chat box, he says, I have wondered with gun regulations and now this, if many will just try to bypass the U.S. law by getting the United Nations to pass things that would not likely get passed by a vote here in the United States of America. This is exactly what they're trying to do. They're trying to enforce hate speech. What they're trying to do is get God and His Word completely out of this context. They don't want anyone to listen to. They don't want anyone to hear the Word and the will of God expressed. And so we can't get it shut down in the United States of America. This radical homosexual agenda just keeps pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing. And you might notice that this openly homosexual fella is going to force people to accept something that is abhorrent to God through a sporting event. Now, what did you tell? I didn't see this, but what did you say that he did?
Well, Carol and I, my wife, were on our way home from Fredericksburg, and we stopped in Marble Falls at a restaurant, and we were watching. They had the ESPN going up on the side there, and when this young man, Michael Sam, got the word that he was drafted, and there was cameras all around, he was hugging his partner and gave him the biggest slobbery kiss you ever saw in your life. It made me want to throw up is what it made me want to do.
Well, Denny writes, he said, they said tonight that if you disagree, you are out of touch and you need to become comfortable with seeing men kiss. That's hogwash.
You know, I don't have to be comfortable with seeing men kiss. I don't have to be comfortable with pedophiles. I don't have to be comfortable with adultery. I don't have to be comfortable with premarital fornication. I don't have to be comfortable with any of those things. Matter of fact, I should be uncomfortable with them because they are contrary to the will of God, and I am never, and we should never, be comfortable with sin.
No. No, when we embrace sin, and just because somebody else does it doesn't mean that we're not involved if we embrace it. And we know this by reading Romans chapter 1 and verse number 32. Mm-hmm. I believe there, if we look in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 32, we will find an explanation of people who are comfortable with sin. Have you got that, Tom?
Yes. It says, who knowing the ordinance of God, that they that practice such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but also consent with them that practice them.
Absolutely. We cannot, absolutely cannot, consider ourselves to be faithful Christians and followers of Jesus Christ and be comfortable watching sin take place before our very eyes. And what we have now is a nation that is being pushed by the homosexual agenda. And I know a lot of people think that we talk an awful lot about homosexuality, but it seems like every other week we are inundated with something else. If they can't get it through the Constitution or the Supreme Court or hate crime speech, then they'll go to the United Nations. Or, hey, I got an idea. Let's go through the NFL. In the NBA.
You know, I think one of the things that they're trying to do, David, is get us so tired of talking about it and fighting against it that we finally give up.
And we would be, but if we ever gave up, we would have to be comfortable.
You know, I've heard old preachers, David, who have now kind of gone liberal or don't stand for anything, said, I have gotten tired of fighting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not going to fight anymore. Well, that's what they're hoping for. They're hoping that Christians will no longer fight And, you know, I don't like talking about it, but we cannot allow this kind of mentality to permeate our world. And, you know, when it's moving so far as going to the UN to try to push it on America, if we can't get it passed in our law, and Ryan made a good point, we need to stand up and fight till the day of our death. We cannot allow this kind of evil to go on without it being checked.
Well, let me just make this suggestion to our listening audience tonight. Call your representative. Remind them, go to the Fort Worth Star-Telegram and look. Type in William Brown from Arlington. He's the one that wrote the article here. Get your information. Call your representative and tell him to oppose any person who is representing the United States of America and the UN. Oppose this hogwash and stop it. And this is one of the reasons, you know, when people say, well, you know, I really don't care what kind of a character this guy is, as long as he understands about the Constitution, or as long as he understands about the welfare of the citizens of this country. No, if we don't elect righteous individuals, then they get sent, the unrighteous ones, to represent people in the United Nations and such things as this, to try to impose immoral activity and immoral thinking on our entire population.
You know, David, this whole issue is more than just homosexuality.
Sure it is.
You know, whenever you can accuse someone of a hate crime or hate speech simply because you are using God's word as your authority, well, that's going to open Pandora's box. And anything and everything that is said by a gospel preacher that someone does not like can automatically be accused of hate crime and being accused of physical and psychological torture because you simply refuse to agree with what they're doing, which is contrary to God's law. You know, we've got to be careful with this, and that's why it's important to fight this very issue.
Well, right here on the chat box, we read on Pardon the Interruption, that is an ESPN program, the two broadcasters said that we must change our attitude, and it is a cultural shift, and we need to embrace it along with all legalized marijuana, which they said would be legalized nationwide in 3 years. No, we do not.
Does that mean that all of the football players now can smoke marijuana? Well, they're being held out. They're not allowed to do it in the NFL. You know, so their argument is false.
Well, the whole thing, this whole push toward immorality and the continual immorality that is being propelled by the top of our government right on down to the local entities, this has got to be stopped, and the only way that we can stop it is to get back to the Word of God and be led by the righteousness that exalts this nation instead of the reproach that is a sin, of the sin which is a reproach to any people. Tom, we're just about out of time. I'm going to let you have the last word. I'm going to say God bless America. God bless for you for listening and entering into the program, and we will see you next week here at the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible, Monday night at 7 o'clock, every single Monday night. Tom and I are right here.
We want to encourage you also to email us, questions@harrisonmoore.org, if you have any thoughts later on or questions or things you would like for us to discuss. questions@harrisonmoore.org. It's been a delight to have you in our audience tonight. You have been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. Yes.
Okay. Everything sound better?
Not right now. It doesn't.
Okay, but it did when I had.